1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. Bathsheba, therefore, went into King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. Let's pray. Father, help us. Now this morning, we ask for liberty, power, wisdom to speak, to declare the truth, the word of God, to be an encouragement and to give honor to our mothers. Lord, that book said, give honor to whom honor is due. Lord, it'd be hard placed and hard put to find anybody more deserving of honor than a mother who works and labors to turn out a child that's good for society and acceptable before thee. What a blessing. I pray, oh God, bless our mothers, use them, encourage them. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, The King and His Mom. I don't know about you, but most of the time when I think about kings, monarchs, royalty, those kind of things, Mama is almost never in the picture. We get caught up in the trappings of the royalty and the majesty. We think about kings and crowns and thrones and power and those kind of things. And so it may have eluded you up to some point that even though they're kings and they are royal and they're monarchs and they have the power of life and death and they get all the hoorahs, they get all the kudos, they get all the press, every last one of them had a mama. Yeah. Amen. Nobody up to now has got into this world without one. Amen. And not likely to in the near future. Amen. So if you're here, it's because you have a mother. And if you're sitting in a church house this morning, it's because your mother's had some influence on you for God. Amen. And I want to talk to you this morning about the king and his mom. Even though he was a king, he's still a man, he's still mortal, and he goes through most of the same things the rest of us do. He gets conceived, he gets gestation, he gets birth, then he begins to grow and to develop. And over time, he becomes a toddler, and then a young child, and then a young man, an adolescent, a teenager. Now, there's a special category for those that are somewhere between human and not human. But they grow out of it. It's kind of a morphing stage, you know, where they grew from that sweet little child you knew into that young adult you were hoping for. And so don't give up if they're in the morphing stage of their life. You'd be surprised how they're actually going to end up. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so King Solomon went through all those different steps and progressions and ended up having been born to the king and been born into royalty with the silver spoon in his mouth, so to speak. His father deceases and goes on to his reward, and Solomon assumes the throne. And now he is an Eastern monarch. Now, if you know anything about history of the East, the Middle East, the Far East, men were the predominant characters. We're not going to argue about whether it should be or shouldn't be. That's a whole different debate, which you would lose. But that's the way it was. And so women were relegated, and for lack of a better word, to a more or less secondary position in the economy of the country. Now, they may have been the dynamo at home, but in public life, they were generally secondary to the male. And kings, especially, because of their power and authority, were awarded certain rights and benefits. You had to be somebody of note. It had to be prearranged before you came into their presence. I mean, you didn't just walk into a king in the Far East or the Middle East in those days without putting your life at risk. Remember the story of Esther, and she was afraid to go into the king because if he doesn't hold out his scepter, then you die. See? So kings had a lot of power and a lot of prestige, and it was a big deal to come into the very presence of that power and that authority. I mean, if the guy got up on the wrong side of the bed that day, I mean, you might walk out of there with your head in your hands. You know, Lord, ain't nobody in here got a sense of humor but me. So, here's the king. He's a relatively young man, but he's a full-grown man, and he's the monarch. Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1, Solomon is the king of the land, and he is the son of David, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Solomon knows God. He's not unacquainted with the Lord. And if you read about Solomon and his dedication when he assumed the throne, if you read about his dedication when he built the house of the Lord, you understand that Solomon has an intimate knowledge of God. Matter of fact, God appeared to Solomon twice. And so Solomon knows God. That's found in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 11. Then the Bible said that Solomon was wiser than all men. He's the wisest man that ever lived. And there are examples of Solomon's wisdom. And his wisdom had traveled around the world. The Queen of Sheba makes a special caravan to come and see him because of the fame, not only of his gold and his riches, but of his wisdom. And when she left, she made this statement. She said, I heard all this and this and this, and I haven't heard the half. Solomon was so rich, it said that in the days of Solomon, silver was accounted as nothing. It just laid in the street. They were so rich, it was so opulent. Then in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19, Solomon's mom comes to see him. And Solomon shows considerable respect for his mother. He rose up to meet her. He bowed to her presence. He brought a chair out and gave her a place to sit. And then he set her down on the right hand of the throne and he began to converse with his mother. That's a very unusual circumstance in Middle East, Far Eastern way of doing things. It's just almost unheard of that a sitting monarch allows anybody other than his queen to sit on his throne with him. But Solomon does. Now, his mother. Who is Bathsheba? Well, that's kind of an interesting study if you're one of them people that are into the Bible and that kind of thing. It's kind of an interesting study to find out exactly who the mother of the wisest man that ever lived was. Now, you know, don't you, that David was a very smart man and a good general and a good politician. But if you read his life story and saw his blunders, you understand he's not the wisest man that ever lived. Somebody say amen. He was right bright, but he wasn't by any far the brightest bulb in the pack. But Solomon is. Now, where did he get that? Well, he must have got some of it from his mama. Amen. I don't know exactly how bright she was, but I know how bright his daddy wasn't. So, let's look at his mother for a minute. And this is important, and I especially want you ladies to pay attention, simply because I want you to see and understand that this mother of a king, this mother of the wisest man that ever lived, was as ordinary as anybody in this room. She wasn't Superwoman. She did not have superhero powers. She didn't have a cape. She didn't have a face like a cat or any of those kind of things. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 3, Bathsheba had been the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Do you know who Uriah is? He was a foot soldier. He might have been a corporal or maybe a sergeant or something. I don't know. He wasn't an officer. He was just a soldier for King David. A loyal soldier, a good soldier. But he wasn't even Jewish. He was a Hittite. And Bathsheba is married to this guy. Everybody knows the story, how David takes Bathsheba, seduces her, has her husband killed in battle. Then he takes her to be his wife. She's with child. That's why Uriah got killed anyway, because David had been with his wife and she was in a family way. So David now takes her to be his wife. So this woman is, she's not married to nobility. She's not married to a king. She's not married to a lineage. She doesn't have blue blood in her veins. She's just an ordinary woman who's too good looking for her own good and who was married to a common foot soldier and a foreigner at that. Now, she becomes David's wife. Now, the circumstances and the things that transpire to bring about that union are a family secret that is not aired by everybody. They didn't have Facebook back in them days, and people used to keep their dirt to themselves. Amen. Nowadays, we hang everything out for the whole wide world to see everything's going on in our life. The buttered toast we had for breakfast this morning, and I can't wear this dress because I put on 3 pounds and it won't fit anymore. Like anybody on the planet cares besides you. She becomes David's wife. Think about that for a minute. This is the guy that takes her, seduces her, gets her in a family way, murders her husband, and now he takes her to be his wife. What kind of attitude do you think she might have developed through that set of circumstances? I really think, and I can't prove this, this is suppose 101. I think Bathsheba is one of those ladies, when you get handed lemons, you make lemonade. Amen? And so she becomes David's wife, and she is set out to make the best out of it. And if you read the rest of their life, Bathsheba is one of the few women mentioned repeatedly in the life of David. Then she becomes Solomon's mother, 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 11. This is after her first child is born and dies shortly after birth. This is her second child, and the second child turns out to be the wisest man that ever lived. A man who is not only going to sit on the throne of Israel, but who is going to see God twice in his lifetime. Bathsheba is his mother. Now, I don't know what she knows about parenting. You know, they didn't have little books all over every bookstore in America or in Israel in those days. I don't know where she learned her parenting skills and how to be a mother. But I'm going to show you in a minute that it's obvious that she got them someplace. Now, Bathsheba is like you. Not only she's been married twice, she has suffered a lot of the things that millions of other people suffer. She has known tragedy in her life. She got a letter from the army edged in black. Your husband has been killed in the line of duty, and we present you this flag as a memorial. Now, she's a wife and she loves this guy. She mourns. the loss of her husband. She's a typical person. She married a guy, you've got to assume, because she loved him. They're a young couple. They don't have any children yet. He goes off to war and he gets killed in battle. Then she knows David the king, and she's with child. And the baby is born and the baby dies. So now she's not only known tragedy in the loss of a husband, she knows the heartache of losing a child. Now, I've never lost a child. God bless my wife and I. All of us were born healthy and stubborn, or mean and or normal. But Bathsheba, is she not typical? Married to an ordinary guy in an ordinary profession, leading an ordinary life, suffers the loss, unexpected, unplanned for, of her husband, of her youth. Then gives birth to a child, and her first child dies shortly after birth. That's the story of millions of people. That's the story of millions of women. But this lady seems to be undaunted. She doesn't just throw in the towel. She doesn't lay down and play dead. And if you'll notice, if you read the rest of 2 Samuel and 1 Kings, that Bathsheba was prominent in the administration of David. This lady had some get up and go. Now, so we're talking about an ordinary woman who now has a son to raise. What kind of job is she going to do? She's a brand new mother. Ladies, remember when you had that first youngin'? How scared you were? I've heard some of the strangest stories. I went to see a lady one time who had just had her first baby, and it was maybe 3 or 4 weeks old. And she wouldn't let me hold it because I hadn't been fumigated and de-germified and all that kind of stuff. She'd hold it, let me look at it, and I want to get over it, and she'd just back up. Now, by the time she got around to having the second or third one, it was here. The time they have that second or third one, here they are just a few months old and they're scooting around on the floor with a wet diaper and snot running out of their nose, and mama's saying, I'm going to clean you up in a few minutes. It's amazing how things change between one and three. I don't know who taught Bathsheba how to rear children, but I think somebody did. And I think she paid good attention. I want to give you about six things about Solomon that he had to get from Bathsheba. Let me start with this. In the first place, in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19, which was our text, Solomon is the king. He got the kingdom from his father and from God. Amen. God had made a covenant with David. David kept the covenant, and so God allowed David's son to become king. So the kingdom, his wealth, his majesty, his power, his position, were a gift from his father and from God. Now, in the Middle East and the Far East, in those days, fathers were not exactly hands-on like they are today. Now, I'm glad to see fathers more involved in children's lives. I think some overdo it, but if you got to err on one side or the other, amen? But in old days, as they say, it was a little different. Mamas were responsible for most of the training, especially when they were in the cradle or they're just toddlers and on up. After they got where they could hold a sword or an M16, then daddy got interested. When they were big enough to go hunting, daddy got interested. But those first few formative years were primarily the responsibility of their mother. Let me show you what Bathsheba managed to instill in Solomon. And we're going to take all this out of verse 19. Solomon. Solomon? Who is Solomon, Lord? Is that somebody else? Solomon. Solomon's shows that he has had training. You see, when his mother comes in, he's sitting on his throne, and here comes Mama, and he sees her coming, and he gets up. That's a little respect for his elders. For his, you know, a lot of that's missing in our day and age. We got mamas and daddies so doggone busy running all over the countryside saying, "Well, bless God, I want my boys and girls to have everything I didn't have when I was growing up." Well, how about there's some things you had when you was growing up that they still need? Like a strap on their butt. Discipline in their life. Some regularity. We eat here, here, and here. And if you ain't here, you get a here. Hello, everybody. We don't require anything out of them. We don't teach them anything. You talk to parents these days, you know what the favorite saying of most parents is today? Well, I told them. Children don't do what they're told. Children do what they're made to do. If you don't make them, they don't do it. I'm kind of like that. My wife don't make me, I don't do it. Solomon has had some training. You know, you can go to people's houses today and knock on the door, ring the doorbell, whatever the communication system is. Now you're on video, you know. You push the button and it looks at you and talks to you. You got that new thing called Ring? You seen that? Anyway, some kid comes to the door and looks at you, and if he recognizes you, or if he doesn't, they just turn around and walk off. They don't say hello. Oh, good to see you, Uncle Joe. Shake your hand. How you doing? You don't get a greeting. And if they don't know you, they turn around and walk off. Mom, some man's at the door. I'm serious. That's the way it is. Disrespectful, rude, untrained, uncultured. Just little... I couldn't find a good word to fit right there. And I know a lot of words. Solomon had showed some training. Somebody had shown him how to show respect to elders and show respect to women. Man, I remember, you know, when I was a boy, you didn't cuss in front of girls or women. Now, I know you weren't supposed to cuss at all, but we all did. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Yeah, and some of you girls cuss too. But we didn't do it in front of women. You was real careful. And boy, you know, I remember a couple of things distinctly about my childhood. You didn't cuss in front of mama, and nobody talked about my mama. Nobody. You want your nose busted, pipe off about my mama, and me and you is going at it. Somebody say amen right there. You didn't talk about a boy's sister. You didn't talk about a boy's mama. You get a knot on your head. Amen. Not these days. We don't have any respect for women. Men use the vilest, foulest language, gutter talk. And women just roll it. Oh, well, it's just words. It don't mean nothing. It means an attitude. But we've had so much critical thinking, we've learned how to not think. Secondly, not only does he show that he's had training, Solomon shows respect. He got up, that shows training, to greet his mother as she comes in. And the king bows to his mother. Whoa. Today you got kids sassing mama, fussing with mama, arguing with mama. I'm telling you what, if I'd argue with my mama, I probably wouldn't need this skin cancer I had because my dad would have slapped my nose right off my face. Amen. It never dawned on me to sass my mama. And God knows it never dawned on me to put my hand on her. I'm 70, almost 72 years old, and that's a thought that has never crossed my mind. My dad come back from the grave now and get me. Let me tell you what I did one time. We was at church, and I was just a little boy, and me and my brothers was playing. And I was sitting next to my mama. My mama was 5'2" with eyes of blue. Y'all may remember that song they wrote about her. And she reached over and popped me on the leg to get us to quit playing. I popped her back. She never said a word. We got home. Everything was fine going home. I forgot about it. Everybody got out of the car. We had one of those 50 Chevrolets with that fast back on it. Everybody had to climb out behind that one seat. I was the last one out. I started for the house, and my daddy got me right by the collar. Pulled me back like a yo-yo. I had a flood of mixed emotions. Like, do I need to do my last rites now? You know, those kind of things. My daddy, he didn't say a word. He stopped me right there, and he went over to one of them bushes we had growing beside the house, and there was a limb on there about this big around and about that long. And he cut that down with his pocket knife and stripped all the leaves off of it. He got him a hickory, a switch, is what they used to call them. He said, son, I don't hit your mama, and you don't hit your mama. And son, I could have auditioned for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because I was glowing a bright cherry red. Now, let me tell you what I never did again. I never touched my mama. No, sorry, buddy. I knew what the penalty for that was. Somebody say amen. He had training, and he shows respect. And, buddy, if you can't show respect for your mama, that ain't much to you. You young girls in here, they say when you're dating a young man or courting, and y'all can argue that how that goes. Some people it's dating, some people it's courting, some people make a distinction and some don't. But whatever you want to call it, you watch the fella you're dating. They say every date is a potential mate. Remember that. Watch how he treats his mother. Because that's most likely how he'll end up treating his wife. Amen. And check his bank account too. If he can't hang on to his money, you don't want him. He had training. He shows respect. Then Solomon shows consideration for his mother. His mama's old. I don't know exactly how old, but he's old enough to be the king. He's been on the throne a while. So mama's older. So what does he do? He has somebody bring out a chair to the throne for his mama. What's he doing? He's showing consideration. Because she's the weaker vessel. She's the woman. Oh, women don't like to hear that these days. Y'all are so busy being equal, you've ruined your miserable little lives. Amen. Why in the world would you want to be equal and come down off your pedestal to wallow in the mud and the sweat and the muck and the mire with us men? Makes no sense to me. Smell good, look good, be tender, be fragile, be ladylike. Be demure, all those things, and let your husband adore you and enshrine you and love you and lavish you with everything he can provide. Why be equal when you can be so superior? Backwards, man. Just dumb, you know. People buy anything these days. Shows consideration. We have a whole generation that's not considerate anymore. They don't consider anybody. It's all about me. Well, he gets all the attention. He gets all the time. Everybody's talking about him. He's got all the time. Everybody thinks he's so cool. What about me? Well, if you had some talent, if you had some brains, if you actually did something besides whine, hello? I'm the only one having any fun this morning. What? I'm having time of my life. Now, We need to learn to show consideration. We need a considerate generation. We were at a prison a couple years ago, and it's in the middle of summer, and it's like 96, 97 degrees. And this little old grandmama up in her late 80s had come down to see her grandson in jail, the black lady. And you got to stand in line. And a process that ought to take 3 or 4 minutes can easily take an hour, hour and 15 minutes at one of these institutions. They are not known for efficiency. So this little old lady is standing there, and she's wobbling. So I went inside and got her a chair and brought it back out and let her sit down. And as the line moved, we moved her chair. But I thought, all them people standing around there, and nobody showed enough consideration to get that little old lady a chair. She was going to fall down and bust her head. Do you know what it cost me to go in and say, listen, this little old lady's not feeling well. Can I get a chair for her? And they said, oh, yeah. Nothing. And most of the time, showing a little consideration for other people doesn't cost you anything. But Solomon shows consideration for his mother. Then Solomon displays that he is willing to hear his elders. Remember, Bathsheba is coming on behalf of Adonijah, his brother, about the little Shulamite girl that he wants to marry. Now, there's another plot there, and we're not going into that. But she's coming down to talk to him about a situation. And the king is not one of these know-it-all, you can't tell me anything, I got a handle on it, don't worry about it. He's not one of them kind of guys. If mama's got something she thinks worth talking about and she's willing to come down to the palace and come to the king's presence, he's willing to listen. No wonder he's called the wisest man in the world. Most people get in power positions like that, they don't want to hear from nobody because they already know everything. Now listen, I've had that know-all, know-everything. I know how that works. I had it till I was about 21. I was the smartest guy on the planet. I knew everything about everything. Somebody say amen. But by the time I turned 22, 23, I was beginning to see that somebody must have wrote another chapter of the book because there's a couple things I couldn't answer anymore. Amen. And you ain't got all the answers either. So you ought to be willing to listen. But you have to teach people to do that. It doesn't come naturally. You know what we want to do? We want to talk and give our opinion and our insight and look at it from our perspective and this. We never want to listen. You ever talk to somebody and you're talking to them and you know they're not listening? They heard the first word. And from the first word till now, all they've done is try to figure out a way to respond to your first word. They quit listening and went to scheming. And so now they're going to answer you, and they're going to answer a problem or a question or an objection they had based on your first word. They missed the next three paragraphs, and you're going, what are they talking about? Then, next, Solomon shows honor to his mom. You know what that guy did? This is unheard of. If you take the time to read your Bible, you'll find out that the right hand is the hand of power and the hand of authority and the hand of assurance. It's the hand that's used to bind covenants or agreements or contracts. All right hand. Amen. Jacob named his son. And he calls, why? Because he's the son of my right hand. He considered his wife his right hand. Solomon gets a chair for his mother, and he places it on the right side of the throne. And lets his mama sit at his right hand. She has the position of power and authority. She is being honored by the king. as being somebody that he would listen to and look up to and trust. Sit on his right hand. In their culture, you can't give much more honor to a woman than that. I dare say that there's any other woman on the planet that Solomon would have put right there. That was his mama. See why? Because mama is the most special person in the world. That's why. Now, when we preach about dads, I'll tell you how special dads are. But we're bragging on mamas today and talking about mamas because the world needs good mamas. They say the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Behind every successful man, there's a good mother. Amen. Now, the question is, where did Solomon get that? I know he got the kingdom from his daddy and from God. But where did he get all this? This is training. This is instruction. This is somebody working with him. This is somebody teaching him. This is somebody training him. Who does that? That's mama. I've said before, my daddy is the reason I'm the man that I am. A large part of the reason. And that's true. But I'm here to tell you, my mama is a large part of what we are. I cannot minimize the influence of my mother in my youth. Now, when I got up big enough to hunt and fish and drive a car and chase girls, it was me and Daddy. But the manners, the civility, the consideration, the thoughtfulness, all those kind of, I didn't get any of that from my daddy. He was a rough and tumble dude. I'd have been like a redneck lumberjack if it had just been Dad. We got our civilizing, we get our place in humanity from mama. And it's not an easy job. I can remember my wife teaching our kids stuff, and she'd go over it and over it. And you say, well, I told them. I don't even hear it. I get aggravated when I hear people say, well, we told them. What did you make them do? How many times did you told them? You got to told them over and over and over and over again. And you swear, this has got to be the dumbest kid that ever walked in a pair of shoes. You can't teach them nothing. And then you'll be out someplace with friends or at an event, and your little kid comes along, and without even thinking about it, they do something you taught them, you're going, where did that come from? Came from mama. Because mama sat at home behind the scenes in the shadows and worked and prayed and taught and rehashed and redid and went over it and over it and spanked and chastened when they didn't obey and rewarded when they did and kept at it and kept at it until it got ingrained in their little head. Then they reached those mystical teenage years. And everything goes to hell in a handbasket. But when they morph out of 19 into the magical 20s, their brain starts to solidify. And it's amazing in the next few years what they really did get from mama. Remember years ago they had this program on TV called I Remember Mama? It was an old black and white cereal kind of a thing. I used to watch it. I was a redneck boy. We had cat busters and bows and arrows, and we killed anything that moved. That's the kind of boys we were. We get in the vines down in the woods and fight and play Tarzan. Tarzan know where Tarzan go. Tarzan do not know where Tarzan go. But I like that show about mama. You know why? It reminded me of my mama. You got a good mama? One that stuck by you? One that's trained you? One that prays for you? One that did without for you? sacrificed for you, still takes your side, the one you still call on when you get yourself all jammed up. Thank God Almighty for Mama. And let her know, don't wait. There's an old song that says, give me the roses while I live. Let them know now that you love them and you appreciate what they did. And by the grace of God, you're going to do for yours what she did for you. Just bow your head. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I pray, oh God, bless our mothers. I have no idea at all where this country would be, where we would be, if it were not for our mothers. They got a tough job. I ask you to bless them. Help us to respect them and to honor them. In Jesus' name.